Okay, so Mr. Keene, is there anything else you would like to add?
Yeah, I got a little bit carried away talking about Dr. Ravelli and his influence, because that was certainly the strongest, but almost as strong, and maybe as strong an influence and a lasting influence on me and so many people who went to school in Michigan was Elizabeth Green. She's known today, of course, for having written the book The Modern Conductor, but she would teach string methods. She probably had a triple overload just simply because she wanted to teach all of those courses. And then if somebody, she taught string methods, she taught string classes. If somebody had a real interest or became interested when they started taking those beginning string classes, she would keep them on for several semesters as long as they wanted to go and teach them privately, which was not part of her load. What we didn't realize until she retired as from the University of Michigan, is that when she was teaching conducting, once a week there was always a full orchestra that we would conduct. And what we didn't realize at the time until she retired is that orchestra, the students who were playing it were getting stipends. Those stipends were coming out of her own pocket. And she left in an endowment when she retired later on so that they could pay those people and pay those... That's all right. You can turn it off. Hi, Doug. This is one of those ex-students we're talking about. We were talking about ex-students. This is Doug Spaniel. Doug is the bassoon teacher at Butler University, a fine bassoonist. And he came through our program at Illinois. And every time he's introduced at Music for All and Bands of America, it just gives me great pride. It gives me great pride to see his success and so many others.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. And he's very sorry to interrupt the interview.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
All right. See you, Doug. I was talking about, this is one you're going to have to put together. I was talking about Elizabeth Green. It's that she was paying for that herself. She was incredibly, incredibly dedicated. And yet she was the opposite from Ravelli in that she would do it with kindness. However, where she was just like Ravelli, is she was every bit as relentless. And she felt that it was her responsibility that you learn how to teach strings, that you become a good conductor, that you show music in your conducting. And she was incredibly dedicated to her teaching, to her craft, to music, to her students. And she was incredibly dedicated to lifelong learning. In addition to what I said before about her actually funding the musicians, or a stipend for the musicians that were playing for the conducting classes, the other thing that happened after she retired, which was very interesting, first of all, she would not have retired if they had not, in those days, had a mandatory retirement age. Neither would Ravelli. Both of them retired at the mandatory retirement age at that time, before the laws were passed, which was 69 years old. You can't start. 69 years old is as old as you can be when you start the academic year. So I know that Ravelli, by the end of the academic year, he was actually 70 when he retired, and I assume Elizabeth Green was, or close to it at the time. But the amazing thing about it is she continued to take on private students for no fee, and at the same time, Eastern Michigan University was right down the road, just a few miles down the road in Ypsilanti. She had always been an amateur painter and artist, and she wanted to spend more time on that. So she went over there and studied and got a bachelor's degree in her early 70s in art from Eastern Michigan University, and that's something that a lot of people didn't know. So her dedication to art in general, to lifelong learning, and her dedication to her students, to the art of teaching, is just something that I'll never forget. And I think about Elizabeth Green almost every day, if not every day.